Well, bless you, beautiful hearts. Let's take our Bibles and let's go again to Luke chapter 5. I'm continuing this study on Because His Love Prevails in order to put together enough concepts of truth for you to see God's great love for you, that you may prevail in life's endeavors, that you have full assurance of God's will for man and God's will for your life, that there's no question about whether it's his will or not, but that you are fully assured. And by looking at different sections of the word and setting these building blocks for your life, I think you can build a great edifice, a wonderful stepping stone, so to speak, to bring your life to the place you really desire it to be. And perhaps bring your life to some place you never even thought was even possible in your relationship with God, that it's a very comfortable and wonderful way to live. Because there is a love that has no limits to its endurance, no end to its mercy, no fading of its hope. It outlasts everything. When all else has fallen, all else fails, God's love in Christ will still stand and it will prevail. In this study, we were looking at Luke chapter 5. It's the record of the healing deliverance of a leper in a certain city. So I'd like to go ahead and begin, and we'll start our reading in verse 12. So here in verse 12, it says, "And it came to pass." Now, that's a great statement or a great phrase, but I want you to just think about that for a second. This actually came to pass. It's something that literally happened. These are not just little stories that will help us feel better, or a little sayings that will encourage us. This is something that literally happened, and it is evidence of God's great love for mankind. It came to pass when he, Jesus, was in a certain city. Behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face, or fell to his knees, he prostrated himself, and besought him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Beautiful. The man was full of leprosy. That's not beautiful. That's hurtful. This word "full" is from the Greek word pleres. It doesn't matter whether you remember the Greek word or not, but that you remember that it came to pass, and this was the situation. This word pleres is a word form for overflowing. It was literally oozing from his life force. In other words, you know, there's mucus coming from his eyes, his yellowed eyes. There's running sores on his body. He was in terrible condition. And it says, "Behold, a man full of leprosy." You looking at him, or me looking at him, we see someone that's dying. We see someone coming to the end of their life. We see the life, you know, we can literally even see the life flowing out of his human form. But he... It says, seeing Jesus fell on his face. Us looking at him, we see death, and it's a challenging situation. But, you know, he, looking at Jesus, saw the restoration back to life. We look at him and we see dying. He, looking at Jesus, saw, "This is my chance again for life. This is my opportunity. I have a date with destiny." And I'll show you why. It says, "And he fell on his face and besought him, saying." Well, first I want to go If you put a ribbon here, we're going to keep coming back to this record because it's important to look at it in this section. But I want you to go to Exodus chapter 15, all the way toward the front of your Bibles. Exodus chapter 15. And then in verse 26, and this is Moses speaking on behalf of God, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God." Now, we must remember that the scriptures are the word of God. So when we're reading the scriptures, what are we actually hearing? Well, I hear my own voice in my mind, but actually it is the voice of God because the words are from God. Moses is telling them what God has told him. And that's what I endeavor to do with our brethren here and other ministers endeavor to do because we believe this is God's word to you. So and we believe that God is our Father. So like I opened, I feel like I'm an older brother helping my younger brother and sisters know about our Father. And what better way than hearing his voice? He says, "If you obey the voice of the Lord thy God and will do those things which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that does what? Healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee." One translation has it, "I am the Lord thy physician." Beautiful. He says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." I like this. This is beautiful because "I am" puts it in the present tense. I am the Lord that healeth thee. It's in the, it is current to the moment. It is "I am." It puts it current to the moment. It's not "I once was" or "someday I hope to be." It says "I am." It is current to the moment. You know, it's not really even accurate to say that once what God was once, he will always be, because for God there is no was once. It is always a right now, this current moment, "I am." I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that heals. I am the Lord, thy physician, right now. Right now. Do you think you walked into the doctor's office? He is the physician right now. Whatever your need is in regard to health, at least there are many other things that he does, but just take this moment. Whatever you would need in regard to health, he is right now your physician. Well, let's go back to Luke, because this leper besought him, he definitely needed a physician, and maybe something even greater than a physician, because generally at this point, he'd be sitting in hospice somewhere, and "We have done all we can do for you. There's nothing further we can do." And generally, people go that way. When they get to this place, they say, "There's nothing left. You're going to have to give it up to God." We ought to, as his children, approach God first. God doesn't mind physicians. God does not mind medicine. God does not mind nursing. But what God desires is to go to him first, because he is our Father. I know some of you, perhaps, that have children, when they have gotten sick and you find out later they went to the doctor, you say, "I wish you would have told me. I could have prayed for you. I could have done something or talked to someone or something. I wish you would have came to me first." That's very typical of a parent. That's sort of normal. So if you've done that, you're normal. And God is the same way. Come to me first, because for him, he is the Lord that heals thee right now. He is the Lord that is our physician. Well, it says, he besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. 98% or perhaps more, I'm just throwing that out as a figure. I haven't gone through and figured this all out. But if you read the records in the Bible, 98% of the situations, people sought out the Lord Jesus Christ in healing and deliverance. They came to the cities where he would be. They looked for him, or they sought him out in order to know more about him. And I think that this is very interesting, because it says, he besought him, saying. The word saying is the Greek word lego. And I thought that was pretty interesting. Both of them loved Legos. You know, those little blocks where you put a block on top of a block and connect them and connect them and connect them, and then you wind up building this. They do everything. They build spaceships, and they can build buildings. I saw one Lego of the White House. I saw another one of the Starship Enterprise, and all these different things. But, you know, you start with one block, and when you open it up, sometimes we're kind of boggled at it. You open up the box, and you got some red ones and blue ones and white ones and all this. And your child sits there, and he's filled with delight, and you're thinking, how in the world is he going to come up with the Starship Enterprise out of this thing? But, you know, they start putting it together. Just like they take your computer when you can't figure it out, and they say, here, Grandpa, it's fixed. Here you go. They start putting this together. This word Lego, that's why I say he besought him, not only to find him to heal him, but he besought to find out about Jesus Christ, what he does, what he represents. And when he found out about the healing, when he had heard from others about other healings that he had done, when he had heard the teachings Jesus had taught, how God is our physician, or how God is so loving and God is so kind, how God is forgiving, he put all of this together and besought him, saying, this is the whole thing put together. This word Lego also means to give as an expressive speaker thinks. You know, he puts his words together, an expressive speaker. You know, when I sat down to work on this teaching, I took my time. I wanted to make sure I said the words I wanted to say, or said the words I believe God wanted me to say. I took time to put this scripture and this with this. That's what that word Lego means. It means to give as an expressive speaker thinks. He puts it all together for you. And when he had this all together in his heart, he besought Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? See, that's what I am endeavoring to do for you today, and I encourage you to do it for yourself by reading the scriptures, so that you start to put the blocks together till it makes something that you really see what it is. Behold, I am the Lord, thy physician. I am the Lord that healeth thee. That you have absolute confidence that God will heal you. That God forgives you. And people say, oh, Larry, he'll never do that for me. I'm a serial sinner. Well, you haven't read this. He's a serial forgiver. And I'll put it together for you, because he is that loving. He is that kind. And this gentleman, he put it together, what he knew from God, like Psalm 103 that we read last week, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and the other verses that we read. He put them all together till it just set in his mind. There was no longer any question. Everything was asked and answered regarding whether God would heal him or not. And he looked at Jesus and said, "Thou canst make me clean." That wasn't even a question. Yeah, I know it reads, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean," but it's actually a declarative sentence. You can make me clean. You can make me whole. Here I am and here you are. We have an appointment with our destiny. I have an appointment with deliverance. I have an appointment with healing that God has set up for me. And you are here and I'm here at this moment. And you can make me clean. You can do it. That's the essence of this. And that's the essence that you should carry in your heart because you have that same appointment. Anytime you wish, he takes walk-ins. Anytime you desire, you have that appointment because I am, present tense, right now, the Lord that healeth you. And when tomorrow comes, it's still I am, present tense, the Lord that healeth thee. And when your friend is sick, or your child is sick, or your parent is sick, take them to that appointment. Give them the scriptures. Take them and lead them to that place where they really see it. They really can envision their lives being touched by the power of God and them getting delivered, that they really set in their heart, "I am the Lord, thy physician, your physician. I am here and this is your appointment. This is our time." So anyways, that's really what it was. It wasn't a question. It was more of a declarative statement. "Thou canst make me clean. I can see from the scriptures. I put together what I've read. I've put together what I've heard from others. I've experienced in my own life. I've seen it in others. You can make me clean. I have arrived at this place and now I know you are here and I can be restored. We have an appointment with destiny, my rendezvous with wholeness." Keep the ribbon in place. Let's go to Matthew 7. Yeah, the Gospel of Matthew. And here in Matthew chapter 7, I'd like to start in verse 7. And again, this is my encouragement for you. And, you know, obviously I encourage myself too. "Ask," Matthew 7, verse 7, "ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, or asks for a fish, Will he give him a serpent? If you," and he's speaking to the Pharisees, the religious leaders and so forth, "if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that," what? "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do even to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Look, the leper came to him for healing. Is not healing good? Is not deliverance good? If then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" And is healing good?
Yes.
Is deliverance good? Is forgiveness good? Is love good? Then all we need to do then is ask, seek, and knock. Beautiful. Well, let's go back to our record again. He said, "Thou canst make me clean." You can make me clean. If we ask, he will give it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And look at around us, look at the shadows that have been cast, the enterovirus, the shadow that's cast by Ebola, and all of these other deadly and deathly things. Yet, I shall not fear, because thou art with me. Not against me, thou art with me. See? So, you know, I understand that it has happened to people. I understand, but it's a shadow. Don't be afraid of the shadows that surround us, because he is with us. All around us, sickness and disease cast their long shadow. Enterovirus, Ebola, cancer, but thou art with me. That is his words to you. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, we have the one that's necessary with us. We have the Lord, my physician. I have the Lord who healeth me. The word clean, thou canst make me clean, is a very unique word. It's the Greek word kathosis, from which we get our English word catharsis, or a catharsis, we speak about it, and it means a purging. It's where everything comes together and then it becomes pure and clarified. And it means to purge out any foreign body. And that's what we need to do, is from the heart of our mind, is purge out those thoughts that would endeavor to add an admixture. It says, look, I am the Lord, thy physician. I am the Lord that healeth thee. But what if? But I'm afraid. Purge out those thoughts and cleanse it with the word. Anything that would fight against, it is God's will to heal you. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. That is God's will and desire for your life. Anything that strikes against it, cast out of your mind, purge it, cleanse it. And cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word. In other words, keep putting those scriptures on. Keep repeating those scriptures to your heart, to the end that it sinks down and it purges out all those reasons why it shouldn't work for you, why you shouldn't have it, why it should fail, why it should dissipate for you, that your expectation is, he is my Lord, he is my physician, I will be healed. The purging always has to start mentally. And we have to purge our minds from those thoughts that invade and attack the soundness of our minds. Then we will see the evidence of the truth in our physical bodies. Purge your mind from doubts. Purge your mind from questions, the what ifs, the fears. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You are so convinced God is with you. You are so convinced he is your loving Father. How many times has God delivered you and made very clear he is light and in him is no darkness at all? How many times has God forgiven you and you walked away and you knew you were forgiven? Well, why would he not forgive you now? How many times has he healed your body? Why would he not heal you now? Get rid of the what ifs. Get rid of the doubts. Because he is a loving Father and his love prevails. It prevails. Thoughts like, I have to clean up my act before God will do something for me. You can rub and scrub and scratch and wipe and disinfect all you like, but it is his cleansing of you through Jesus Christ, his baptizing you in the fiery Holy Spirit that has cleansed you. And there's nothing that will uncleanse you. And there's nothing that you can do to cleanse. And he has wrapped you in a robe of white that is absolutely stain-free. It has that Shekinah glory because he has wrapped you in a robe of righteousness. You already are clean, not because of what you did, but because of what Jesus Christ did. Not because you loved, but because he so loved. Now, why not love him back by believing the testimony he has given of himself and of the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, he's already cleansed you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now live like one who's already cleansed. Live like one who's clean. He loves you. Live like one who is beloved. Reach the catharsis that God is so loving, he so loved the world that he gave. He didn't wait until all of mankind cleansed themselves. He so loved the world, he gave and cleansed them. The filthy garments have been taken away by Christ, and you have been clothed in righteousness, the robe of love. He loves you now, so live like one who is beloved. And the way that we will purge our minds from these things to try and convince us, because the adversary is a lying liar, and all those that associate all of his kingdom are lying liars. They will lie to us. So why believe a lie? You get upset when you found out you believed the lie. You get upset when you got that thing that said, you have won such and such, and you open it up and you find out, well, you're one of the ones that may have won. And then when you go, you find out you're with the whole group of losers who never did. You, because of what Jesus Christ did, you have won the lottery of eternity because you have picked him. Well, Philippians chapter 4, I just want to, this will help you and allow you to live like one who is loved and beloved by God. In Philippians chapter 4, it tells us in verse 8, well, let's start in verse 6 so you see the pattern here. Be careful for nothing. The word careful is Old English, and it simply means be anxious for nothing. Don't let anxiety get in there. Be careful. Be for nothing. In other words, don't get anxiety over it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I know people ask me sometimes, Larry, why do you always say, thank you, Father, or thanks for that? Because the scriptures tell me I'm to pray with thanksgiving because I already know he has heard me and he has answered my prayer. That's why. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. And that's what we wanted to purge, right? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And as the Apostle Paul said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Isn't that beautiful? So how do we purge out these lies that we have taken in? We think on these things, those things that are true, honest, of good report, and so on. Think about those things. Think about the scriptures. Think about he is the Lord, our physician. He is the Lord that heals thee. Well, let's go back to Luke chapter 5, and I want to go ahead and finish this record with you. And we'll look at verse 13. Remember, the man said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Verse 13. And he, Jesus, put forth his hand and touched him. This word touch means to bring to you. Jesus didn't just touch him. You know, he embraced him. He brought him into him. That's what that word touched. Do you think that Jesus was absolutely convinced that God was his physician, that God was the one that healeth thee? Else he never would have grabbed hold of that guy. That's highly contagious. That would be a dangerous thing. But there was absolutely no question in Jesus Christ's mind. There was no what ifs. There was no but. He put forth his hand and embraced him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And that's, again, that word, catharsis. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but to go and show thyself to the priest and offer for the cleansing according to Moses Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear him and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Because once that leper went, then it was common knowledge, because he had to go before the high priest and present an offering and say, I was a leper, but now look, I'm clean. I have been purged. I don't have a sign of it in my body. And when that word got around, other people said, you know, I heard about Jesus over in Capernaum, and I heard about things he did over there. And someone told me at a teaching, he said such and such. And someone said, and, you know, I read in the scriptures in Isaiah, such and such and such and such. And they came together. They started putting those blocks together. The Legos started going in place, and it started building this thing, and they saw it, and it hit them, and they said, my God, he really is our physician. He really is the one who heals us. And they came also. And do you think that they got healed? Do you think that they walked away delivered from their infirmities? You see, he healed them just as beautifully as he will heal you. He brings you to himself. Fear not the shadows as you walk with him through the valley of the shadows of death, because he is a restorer back to life, because there is a love that has no limits to its endurance, no end to its mercy, no fading of its hope. It will outlast enterovirus. It will outlast Ebola. It outlasts everything. When all else has fallen, all else has failed, the love of God in Christ still stands, and we will prevail in you. Bless your hearts.